It's amazing how many people are looking, isn't it? I mean, all it takes is just a global thing, and then people start looking. And I thank God every day for the opportunities to share Christ, the opportunities not just to share Him by word, but to share Him with our lives, to share Him in our actions, to share Him in our peace and our calm. Cindy talked about peace in the ladies' study on Thursday, talked about peace not being a state of mind, but peace being a person. And that peace is Jesus Christ. For the last few weeks, we have been talking about God's surprise visits. And we talked about Noah, we talked about Abraham, we talked about Jacob, we talked about Gideon. And it's interesting that if you look at each one of these situations, God was depositing something in the lives of these people. God was filling a void, and that's what we're going to be talking about for a few weeks, is filling the void. If you look at Noah, God brought salvation. Noah is an example that if we come to the Ark of the Covenant, the promise of Christ Jesus, we will be saved. Can you imagine being Noah back in the day, being the only righteous family, not just in your town, but in the world? I mean, Noah probably wanted to be saved from his surroundings. And God did that. So we look and we see salvation there. How about Abraham? Abraham, he was waiting for a promise. God made a promise. God made a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham's story shows us that when God makes a promise, He keeps it. And God's promise and covenant with us today is that if we believe in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will be saved. That is an amazing covenant. That is an amazing promise. Or how about Jacob? Jacob the trickster. Reconciliation. Being changed from one personality to another. How many of you would like your personality to change? Go ahead, everybody, raise your hand. We've all been there at one time or another. We've put one foot in our mouth, and then we've thought, well, maybe I should just put both feet in my mouth and bounce around on my bottom, right? We've all wanted that, and Jacob got it. God came, and He visited Jacob, and He changed his life. He changed his name. So you see, we have salvation, we have the promise, we have reconciliation, and then Gideon. Gideon, the mighty warrior who was hiding in a wine vat. I mean, think about his situation. Every year, the eastern peoples came into Israel and they totally pillaged everything they had. They took their food, they took their animals, you know, and they left. And so Gideon, he was trying to protect himself and his family by threshing the little bit of wheat he had in a wine press, hiding out. And God shows up and says, "Hey there, mighty warrior." Have you ever felt like that? You're hiding out? And God shows up and He says, "Hey, I want you to do something." And you're like, "But I'm the least of the least." And God says, no, you're not. You're a warrior. You see, God gives us salvation. He gives us promise. He gives us reconciliation. And He gives us deliverance and empowerment in our lives. God gives. God fills those voids. And so I want us to learn how to fill up those voids, because we come to Christ, okay, and we have our salvation, we get a hold of Jesus, and then we get into life and we kind of get beat up. And we kind of feel like, wow, did I do that right? Did I say the right words? You know, maybe I should get baptized in Spearfish Creek one more time, you know, just so I'll remember, you know, that I got baptized. I mean, that is something you don't forget, right? Amen? And we kind of wonder about that. Well, God made Himself known in a greater way in all of these visits. Something happened. Those men stepped into a deeper relationship with God. They got to know God as a person. They got to know God as being a present personality in their life. Something real and concrete. You see, God is in the business of filling voids. He always has been. And I always love it when we teach something and we can go back to Genesis 1. I love Genesis 1. I have You know, you have people come up and they want to argue with you, and you say, you know, you really can't argue with me. For one thing, the New Testament, it really kind of commands us to refrain from arguing with people because it doesn't do a lot of good. It just creates strife. But I've taken people back to this one thing. You can't argue with me because I believe the first three verses in the Bible. And they look at you like, what? You've based your foundation and your faith on the first three verses of the Bible? Absolutely. It's very easy to do. We're going to go there today. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created. Who created? God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't just a big bang. It wasn't just a big pool of soup. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now look at this, verse 2. The earth was without form and, I want you to look at that word, void. It was void. There wasn't anything there, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, we can go into this scientifically and spend about 4 hours in it. Okay? This right here. This is scientifically correct and can be proved through physics and all kinds of things I don't understand. But here's one thing I do understand. Okay? God then said, let there be light. And there was light. What was the void? It was darkness. And what did God fill that darkness with? Light. Light. God is in the business of filling a void. When I was small, I did not like dark. I did not like dark, okay? I would make all kinds of excuses not to go into my bedroom because it was dark and there were monsters under my bed that made noises. There were. They weren't monsters, it was a heat radiator, and every time that the heater went on, it'd go kick, 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 kick. And I was pretty sure that it was a monster, okay? But God filled that void. You know how he did it? I would say, Dad, Mom, and they'd come in and they'd soothe me. So God is in the business, just like our protectors on this earth, God is in the business of filling that void. And we're going to look at that today. The first act of creation was for God to fill a void with light. And God is still doing that today. I want us to go to John 8, 12. We're going to be in John quite a bit in this series. John was the beloved disciple. John is the disciple, is the apostle that wrote the Revelation. John, we believe, is the only apostle that was not martyred. He actually died of old age. And he did get off the island of Patmos, and he was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. John was an amazing man. He lived to be very, very old. And John, because of his relationship, because Jesus Christ was a real person to him, not just while Jesus was on this earth, but when Jesus was resurrected and then sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, the believers. And John held on to the fact that Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit is a real person. And that real person is something very special. In John 8, 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, listen to this, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Okay? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we believe in and if we follow Jesus, we will have the light of life. Okay, so what is that? In fact, it's not a what, it's a who. You know, so many times when we think about these scriptures in our Western culture, we think about what? So we think about the light, you know, being like the light on our phone now. You know, that light, that word. In fact, most of the words in the New Testament, when they talk about light, when they talk about peace, when they talk about joy, they're talking about a personality. And that personality is Jesus. And that person that lives within us and on the world now is the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus. And so I want us to start thinking about Jesus as that person.
that lives within us. That the Holy Spirit is that person, the personality of Jesus that lives within us. If we believe in Jesus, the person, the light of life, living in us, and if we get that up here, and we get it down here, then we start walking it out here. But it's very hard because we always start thinking of him, okay, he's a person, and then pretty soon he becomes an abstract. Ooh. You know, it doesn't help that the King James calls him the Holy Ghost, right? But he's a person and he's real, and he's very, very much in our lives. You see, in order to fill the void in our lives, and we have a lot of voids. Our first void is salvation. We need to be brought into the relationship of God. Our spirit needs to be made alive with the light of God, because our spirit apart from God is dark, just like creation was before God said, let there be light. We're dark, and God says, okay, let there be light, let Jesus come into our lives, and we are lit up with the person of Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And we have to let him in. And we have a lot of rooms in our spirit, in our soul. Our spirit, okay, we let him in here. But then our soul, our thoughts, process, you know, our emotions, all the rest of us that's, you know, packaged up here in our complicated brain, all that stuff, okay, it has a lot of rooms in it, doesn't it? You know, we have the room, you know, where we've got to go to work and we've got to provide, and we have the room where, you know, we got to be at home, and we have the room where we have to interact with people, and we have all these rooms. We have this room in our mind where we can't think nasty things about people. That's a room that I really deal with a lot when I'm driving, you know. It's like, you know, there was a saying. When years and years ago, I had a patrolman that I rode with, and I wish he would have never said it, and I could never. But he had this saying, and so when my mind goes there, I go to that saying, and I have to repent. You know, it's like, no, God, I want to forget that, please. And God says, okay, we'll just shine some light on it and shove it back. See, light pushes darkness back, but in this world, we're always going to be fighting darkness, aren't we? So we need to keep turning on the lights. We need to keep letting that light in to our lives, okay? So with the light of Jesus in our life, we lack nothing as long as we stay focused on that light. If you remember, we went through Psalms 23 a while ago. We really didn't go through it real extensively. We just kind of hit the high spots. So I'm going to touch on something that we really didn't look at. And that's the first verse. I mean, we looked at it, but here's a different aspect of that. The Lord is my shepherd, and I love the way the NIV has it. I lack nothing. Do you know what that means? That means there's no void. God has filled every part of it. You know, if we stay, if we want to focus on the light, we have to stay like sheep. The light living within us is Jesus, the good shepherd. He's not some abstract. Just like I've said, he's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. God is a person. Okay? In fact, we can't see light rays. We see the effect that light has, the reflection that light has on our world. That's what we see. We cannot see ultraviolet rays. But they're real. And we cannot see God, but he is real and he is a person. The fact that he said, let there be light, everything you see is a reflection of God's power in creation. Does that help make him a person? That's why he's everywhere. Because when he said, let there be light, light is everywhere in the universe now. And God said, let there be light, he's everywhere. So we have to reflect on that. He is a person. David used this parable, this illustration of a shepherd, because David understood the shepherd, because he was a shepherd. You know, when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack anything. You see, the sheep get up in the morning, and when they have a shepherd, you know, not like sheep that we do now, where we just kind of turn them loose in a field and, you know, hope for the best. I mean, really, okay? We look after them, but, you know, they kind of are on their own. But back in the day, they had a shepherd, and the shepherd would move them to good pasture. The shepherd would take them to water. and they literally followed the shepherd. We had a sheep called Snowball, and Cindy was his good shepherd. And I'll tell you what, if she showed up, he would do practically anything to get close to her. And he weighed over 200 pounds, and so there wasn't much stopping him, you know. But I just remember him following her all over the place, you know. And just like, okay, here's Cindy. She's going to take care of me. Because she did. From birth, she took care of him. She fed him. He was a runt when he started out. And she took care of him, and he knew that. And you see, David knew that about the sheep. And that's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd. David said, I'm a sheep, and I lack nothing. And if we read the 23rd Psalm, we see what God provides. Every void in our life, God fills. The person of Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit, God fills. The shepherd fills every void in our life. So, this week, I want you to ask, I'm going to ask this question, and I want you to think about this. What is creating a void in your life? What's creating a void in your life? Okay? Because God is waiting to fill that void with the person and the light of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is say, okay, Lord, I have this void. You have not because you ask not. It's a scripture. And we have to go to God. We have to admit, okay, Lord, I have this shortcoming. Isn't that a nice word for sin? I have this lack, okay? I have this area in my life where I just keep stumbling over and over and over and over. And Lord, I need you to fill that void. Now, in order to know that something's going to be there, we have to go back to our John 8:12 verse where Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, if you come to me and if you're honest with me, you will walk in the light. You will never ever walk in darkness. You'll have that light. So if you recognize, or even if you don't recognize, sometimes it's, you know, like, Lord, this same thing keeps happening over and over and over. What's going on? Father, shed some light on it. Now that's a dangerous prayer. Because a lot of times when we ask God to shed light on something, we think it's about somebody else, and sometimes it's about us. And so sometimes we say, okay, God, shed light on it, and then we go, oh, whoa, wait a minute. What? You know? But God will. He's wonderful. Jesus says, follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. He says, you will have the light of life, the life of Jesus Christ in you and around you. Whoa, that's pretty powerful. Around you to light up your path when you ask for it, and in you to empower you, in you to change you, in you to cleanse you, in you to turn on those lights in those rooms that maybe you haven't looked in for a while, in your mind, in your soul. Because Jesus is the light. So this week, okay, in order to grow in this area, I want you to read two sections of Scripture as many times as you can, okay? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And look at all the things that David does not lack because the Lord is his shepherd. Okay. And then secondly, John 10, 1 through 18. John 10, 1 through 18, Jesus talks about, I am the good shepherd. And this is what the good shepherd does. And I want you to start thinking about Jesus as that person, that shepherd that lives in you, that lives with you. God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the three in one in your life in a real way. And think about, okay, Lord, what voids would you like to fill in my life? Focus on the light of Jesus within you. Focus on the Holy Spirit becoming the reality of the person that he is. Okay? Let him become more and more real as you read these passages, as you let this word soak into you. Let him become more real than everything that you see, everything that you hear, everything that you taste, everything that you feel. Because the light is so real, it totally, totally saturates us. When you go out and you sit in the sun, do you feel like no part of you is not being touched? You know, this last week, when Monday and Tuesday, when I was very, very sick, I just went out and I sat in the sun, and I'll tell you, you could just feel the healing power of God in that. He created that light. And He's that real. He's that real. He is a person, and He is all of the light of creation. Wow. Wow, when you start thinking about Him like that, He gets real, real, real fast, doesn't He? I want us to end today with John 1, 1 through 5. Two scriptures, my favorite, Genesis 1, 1 through 3, and John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. I don't care what it looks like in the world. Jesus is the light. And the darkness has not, will not, and will never overcome the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that the reality of You, Lord, would become very, very personal. Lord, just like the visits that we studied about this past month, where You became very real in the lives of these people, I want You to become very real in our lives. I want our relationship and our personal walk with You, Lord, to be so that we're so aware of You, we can't ignore You. We can't just push on throughout the day without knowing You're there. We want that kind of presence in our life, Father. And I pray that You will show Yourself in a very wonderful, powerful, and light-giving way as we study how to fill the void in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.